While talking to Auntie Isabel, I had the opportunity to meet a Kamilaroi elder, Auntie Boahiki. In the following interview, she tells of her experience as an Indigenous person growing up and living in Australia. I warn that this content may be upsetting to some listeners. I begin by asking Auntie Boahiki about the highly controversial death of her nephew, TJ Hickey.
So many TJs has died. TJ's only the icing of the cake, he's the one that they couldn't get away with, you know?
Yeah.
He's the one the world see, the government murder, first degree murder by police that were supposed to look after him. So with TJ's cases, we put up with this for 200 years.
Mm.
If you look at the country, it was all black. Now you don't see a black.
Mm.
So this is why we're at this embassy and fighting for our people or what's left of our people.
Mm-hmm. So what happened? So you're his auntie?
I'm his auntie.
Mm.
We were sitting at home on a field case a few days before. Prior to this, we was at the Tin Embassy in Victoria Park. And every time I'd walk home, TJ was locked in a little room like that in Redfern, Caroline Street.
Mm.
And every time I'd walk up on the Tin Embassy, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, doesn't matter, whatever time I needed to be there, I'd walk home after. He'd ask me for a cigarette, and I was always poking the cigarette through the hole, you know, through the crack, saying, why are you locking yourself in? So you never get hurt no more, because all the hurts, it's there. It's already in my body, you know. I can't hate because I've got no hatred. I can't cry. I've got no tears. I can't go anywhere. I've got no money. So this is what the government in Australia want us to believe and think and whatever else.
Mm.
It's sad to be black, you know. Criminal as soon as you're born. That's the way I've seen Australians treat Aboriginals in their own country. And as for TJ, I've seen so many TJs die for nothing. He's with TJ, he sort of brought a lot of people, look at what they're doing, because it happened in a day at 11 o'clock, people that's supposed to look after him, set up because he won't sell a heroin. And all our liaison officers, they do put in through police force, they made to sell coppers to their communities. Even when you go back to Walgett, we had two beautiful rivers. We used to fish, we used to swim. If we needed a feed, we'd go out and catch a kangaroo. A crayfish. We haven't got a river. We had two rivers. We haven't even got one. We've got no trees. We've got no kangaroos. We've got no farms. We've got cotton.
Has it been farming or mining? What is it that's polluted
it? It's the cotton. They've taken all the farms away and produced cotton right throughout. It's mucked up. All the Aboriginal culture throughout, because it starts at Moree, one end, Mungandai, and it's in mostly the black benches along the way, Canamble, Gadurga, Walgett, Moree, is where the cotton's growing, and it's all where there's 80 and 90% Aboriginal.
So in that case, did you come from Walgett and then move into the city, into Redfern?
I was thrown out of Walgett by the cops. I went to Weewall cotton chipping. And at the time, there was a black death in custody there. So the police all got drunk and shot us out of Weewall. And when we got home to our caravan, no windows, no nothing, but we had no clothes, nothing. They spun us around three times. And I ended up, me and Josephine Doolan, we ended up in Sydney because we couldn't go home because they put three men on that road. They were just... It was press the button, we're in control. We shot the black man and... get out of town so we can cover it up. That's what it looked like, and it's still happening 33 years later. When is this going to stop? Nothing's going to stop, and if we start somewhere and we mean it, doesn't matter if it kills us, we've got to stop this holocaust in Australia on black people, because it's been happening for so many years. I'm sick of crying. As I said, I haven't got a tear in my eye. I haven't got a pain in my body because there's none left. You know, there's nothing. I couldn't care if they shot me today, you know. I just don't care because I will fight till the end.
Mm.
And everything I'm saying is about the land, the trees, the whatever.
So what do you think is the best way of changing it, the best way of making that difference?
We've got to walk together as people and not as blacks, whites, brindle, as one person. As one person, if we've got a strong person like Isabel, which has been strong for 34 years, 33 years, we've got to walk beyond. It doesn't matter which direction. she gives all her recognisation to docs and this and that, and it's controlled by other people. Her grandchildren can't even go to school in some situations because the power of one woman. And what I've seen this weekend at the Tent Embassy, I hope this one woman change a lot of things, because I'm sick of running and getting a kid out of jail, running to another state. We've got a little boy there that's been in the boys' since he was 13. They took him to Cobham, 13-year-old. His name is Jeff Whittaker. They put his mum in a mental institution. His father died 2 months before. That boy is still in Brisbane after 11 years for stealing the food in his own country as a 15-year-old boy. We have not seen that boy in 11 years. Oh, I forgot. He's got to do another 4 years for anger management. Why couldn't they teach him that in the 11 years they already done? So, yeah, it's an ongoing thing, and if we don't keep fighting...
So you think what's going on down here at the moment at the Tent Embassy is really progressing?
Progressing, and very important to all walks of life, every Indigenous person, because we've got to start from the ground up, not from the top down, because it all depends on Mother Earth.
Mm.
You can't keep building and knocking it around. Mm. There'll be no water soon. Oh, there'll be a lot of water and no land. It's either or either. So if we don't look after both, protect the land when the trees are blooming, Jesus knows it needs water. He's going to let it rain.
Yeah.
But he's not if there's so much destruction on it, you know? Yeah. And this is what it is. It's destruction on the land. Being an Aboriginal, I am one. I lived it. In the next life, please bring me back white.
No.
I don't like being an abba.
No,
this is my saying through what I've grown up with. But just being an Australian alone is hard. Being a black Australian, please shoot me.
Come gather around the kitchen fire with resistors. Show yourself the power of sustenance. Regards the future of human existence. It's time to answer the call to participate. Where there is no such thing as being late. The unending unraveling of our path. Questions remain, avenues in which to bath. There's no point in waiting for a saviour. Each moment is presented for us to savour. The cornerstone, as solid as our stance. As we intertwine, enjoy the cosmic dance.
So you ended up having to move out of the block eventually.
I moved out because my children weren't learning ABC. They were picking up needles and zipping up dead bodies because they wouldn't remove the heroin.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of stuff that we put up, as I say, since I was 13 and ran away. I wasn't letting my mum work another 6 months to buy me a pair of shoes. I wanted to earn my own. For doing that, I got shot out of Weewall and the caravan burnt down, sent on a destination 1,000 miles away from my people and on the streets like a dog. And then I was sitting on a train one day, sick of finding garbages and all that because it was raining. Then I jumped on the train, and one old matron from our Lady Davison Hospital, she gave me a job at Tarramurra Hospital. So I worked there helping the war veterans, no arms, no legs. So I stayed there for two years until I seen the kids falling around in Eveleigh Street. So I stopped work and just sewed, cooked, and got a job around the kids and the old people, trying to protect like I'm doing here. And that's an ongoing thing. Just for a bit of space to walk, a bit of space to get a feed, because we don't want them big artificial fruit in our mouth. A bit of mountain. Before it took our people 2 years to get over the Blue Mountains. Today it takes you... 2 minutes. So you can see the destruction by our hills, mountain roads, trees and whatever, rivers. They're just completely wiping us out.
This is all really you know, heartbreaking stuff, but you're such a happy, laughing woman. Where do you find all your strength and your happiness and your joy?
I see people like you. I see people like Ken. And yous are not Aboriginals, but yous with us. You sit with us. So that's the hope I got in my heart. And today, after this meeting, as I say, I've seen a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So I hope it grows and grows and grows so we all can walk as one. Not, as I say, I don't want to be Michael Jackson. I don't want to get money to inject the colour of my skin. I just want to be me. Let me walk as me. Let my children walk. My son-in-law's been 13-year-old, went to get a packet of Kimbies for his aunt, and he's been chased ever since. He reports every day. And then they say to him, get a job. And I went in with him one day and I said to Sergeant Dennis Smith, 5-star, don't tell my son-in-law to get a job. He's been working for you guys since he's 13. He come and report every day. So he got to leave his work and come back to report to you guys. But this is the sadness, and they'll say lazy black this and lazy black that and lazy black this. All they got for us, work for the darling young country. We can't even work in a council where we can at least get 500. They got our Aboriginal people working for the dole, $200 a week with 10 children. That's not a job. That's slave.
I just
want to walk where I want to walk. I want my children to walk where they want to walk without getting picked up, without getting shot out, without getting killed like TJ. I just want to be normal. That's all. That's all it boils down to, being a normal person and talk to who I want to and walk where I want to without saying, get on this mission. Oh, don't go in that club.